Each of you know how much I need your prayers, so I stand before you. But as always, I ask that you would remember me as I make an effort to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to study as much as I can in God's Word, so that when we come before you, we'd be a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yet we always recognize that though we study, we could always study more. Though we spend time meditating on the things of God's Word, there's always room for us to do it better and to think about it more clearly and more like we ought to. So in all that we do, we find evil present with us and do feel very much in need of the Lord's blessing. Though we study, there is no assurance that the Lord will bless us unless He sees fit to do that, and we know that He is able. And I do ask you to please remember to pray right now that God would bless us with liberty to preach. Preaching is not just speech making, and those who think it is are mistaken. Preaching has to be done in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And if it was done some other way, your faith would stand in the wisdom of man, not in the power of God. My desire today is that all of the service, whether it's the singing or the prayers or the preaching, that our faith today would stand in God and in His power and what Jesus has done for us and not anything of man. That man would not be given any of the glory, but all the glory and all the praise belongs unto the Lord. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I begin reading in verse 13. This is on the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that we have recorded in God's Word, that there was a Savior who not only lived and died, but went to the grave, but didn't remain in the grave. And that we don't today worship a God or a Savior who is dead. We worship a God who is alive. We pray that we are alive by His grace and that we'll feel His manifest presence here, because He is not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. And we pray that we're alive by His grace and that we might feel His manifest presence, because we, as those who've been made alive, have fellowship with the one who's the life giver, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, we read of an account of two of His disciples. We don't know whether one of them might have been one of the apostles. I'm not sure about that. Could have been. Be speculation for us to say. We do know one of them was not one of the apostles, one of the 12. But we do know that he was one of the 70, one of those who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of those that were gathered. If not of the 70, at least of those that gathered on the day of the Acts of the Apostles on the day of Pentecost. Well, the number was about 120. We know there were these that were gathered together under the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see two of them after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ traveling from Jerusalem, where they had been witnesses of all these things, to a little city or a little town called Emmaus, a village called Emmaus. Reading right here in verse 13 before we get started, I better read. So chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And if I've got my math right, that's about 7 miles. Maybe a little less, some say a little more, but somewhere around a 7-mile journey that they were traveling. And they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. But He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? They said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and then them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. What a beautiful account in the lives of these men after they were in such doubt and fear to be brought into the very presence of the Lord. Despite their doubting and their unbelief, the Lord, because they were His, supplied what they stood in need of while they lived here in this world. And there's a great deal of instruction for us that we can learn and glean from this. We know that's true of every verse in the Bible because God has written it. It's His Word. It's written for our instruction that we might learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth to prepare us to live in this world. These two that went the same day to a village called Emmaus had seen a whole lot of things, really, in their entire lifetime. What a blessed life it was to be able to live in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. A time when the one called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, the one Isaiah prophesied about, the one Moses talked about, that prophet that was to come, that was greater than he. And that one who was Jesus, the Son of God, had been born and lived his life. And they had been those who were called out of the darkness of this world to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, in their lives. And what they had seen, to be able to read about it in the accounts of the Bible, we just get overwhelmed at how powerful Jesus was when he walked in his life. When it came time to pay the taxes, he had no trouble to do that. He just went over and got a fish. And out of the mouth of the fish, he was able to pull a coin from the mouth of a fish. When it came time to feed the 4,000, just a few loaves and a few fishes, and the 5,000, a few loaves and a few fishes, he set them down and took that what a little lad had, just a few loaves and a few fishes, and fed the multitude. And when it was all over, there was enough taken up, much more than what they began with. Because, you see, he's the one who created the heavens and the earth, and all things were made by him. And when the lepers came to him to be clean, rather than making him unclean with their touch, he cleansed them and had no problem doing that. When those that were blind came to him, they did not get turned away and lose that hope that they had that he might be able to help them. If thou canst, thou can make me whole. How many said that to him? We know of some who did, and it was recorded. But actually, the Bible says if all the things had been written that could have been written, the world would not have contained the books that might have been written about this man. This man was a prophet who told about the destruction of Jerusalem that actually occurred and took place and declared about the end of the world. This man was the priest that offered in himself once, and he was the perfect sacrifice. He was that one offering, that Lamb of God. As John said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's who he was. And he had walked with them, and he had talked with them, and he had declared unto them that he was going to Jerusalem, and evil men were going to take him and crucify him, and he was going to be condemned, and that he would die. But he didn't leave it there, did he? He told them also, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And he had said that to them, but they had not had a clear understanding of what he was saying. They believed him, and they believed that he was, as Peter said it. Didn't Peter say it? He said, "Who are men?" Said he was all kinds of things. Some said thou art Jeremiah, some said thou art Elias, some said thou art one of the prophets. But he said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he recognized Jesus told him, he says, "Listen, Peter," he said, "upon this rock I'll build my church. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And that is the way you and I today know him to be who he is. If you know him to be who he is today, it's because God the Father has revealed that to you. And if he had not revealed it to you, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't care about it. You wouldn't want to be hearing about it. You'd have no interest in this man called Jesus. If you had anything to do with Jesus, it would be to hate him and despise him, because there were those who did hate him and despise him, but there were those who loved him. There were even those who secretly loved him for fear of man. I'm afraid there is today many who secretly love him because they fear the cost of taking his name. May we not be numbered among them, and certainly when we get discouraged, because sometimes God's children get discouraged. You get discouraged, don't you? I know I've been discouraged. Matter of fact, I've had a real season of that seemingly recently, and that's been my life. There have been some times I've been so up, I thought I'd never get down. And there have been some times I was so down, I wondered if I'd ever, ever feel better or ever get up. Even sometimes when we're called to go to speak to the Lord's people, we wonder, how could we possibly say anything when we feel like we do and have so many concerns that we have? How could we say anything to encourage? And certainly we don't want to discourage. We don't want to have a little pity party as we meet here today at Happy Creek Church. We want to talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to share with you the truth of what Jesus is and what he's done for us, so that we might be encouraged. But sometimes we can feel so low, we wonder, what could I say or what could I do? The singing's helped me today. Your presence has helped me. Your prayers have really helped me. And I believe you're praying that God would bless us with what we need. These two men went on the road. They were walking along together, and they were communing with one another, and they were reasoning. But I'll tell you what, those little boys were in bad shape. They were in bad shape. They were in the midst of doubts. They were in the midst of fears. They had heard some news that caused them to maybe have a little hope, but they had so much doubted that they wondered, could it possibly be so? So much so they really felt like it wasn't so. They felt like this is what they had in mind. This is what they had pictured. This is what they had thought Jesus was going to do. This is the way they figured out God was going to work. This is what their mind was about it, and what they had thought didn't happen like they thought. Have you ever had that experience where you thought God would do it this way, and God would do it that way, or God would do it in this manner, or God would do it in this, he'd bring this about, and you prayed about things, and you looked to the Lord's, and rather than things seemed to get better, listen, they had seen the one they had walked with and talked with and loved, and had seen him so many times when they came to do him harm, they'd seen him do miraculous things, but they'd also seen him deliver himself, and listen, that's how they took Jesus. They didn't take Jesus because they overpowered him. Because all the power on this earth could not begin to move him in one degree at all. If he had not given his life, they could have never taken him. And he proved that over and over again. But because he loved you, dear ones, and because I hope and pray he loved me, and because he loved these two that walked on the road to Emmaus, and because he loved his children out of every nation and kindred and tongue, a people given to him of the Father, even before the foundation of the world, because he loved his Father and came to fulfill the will of his Father, he went to that cross and gave himself willingly at Calvary and allowed those men to judge him wrongfully, and allowed them to condemn him, even where Pilate
The Roman governor was made to say in his own mouth, he said, "I find no fault with this man," and tried to wash as a good politician does. You know, "I try to wash my hands of this to make sure there's no guilt on me." Oh, Pilate, you'll never wash your hands of the guilt that was there. And the Jews will never wash their hands of the guilt that was there. And more importantly, dear ones, you and I will never wash our hands of the guilt that was there. Because when you want to know who nailed Jesus to the tree of the cross, it was you and I. It was our sins that he went to the cross for, and he bore there. And if he had not had our sins upon him, he would have there would have been no death that occurred at Calvary. Listen, the reason he died is because he paid the sin debt. It demand, the wages of sin is death. And he had to pay for my sins. Every lie I've ever told, every wrong I've ever done, every time I've even had evil present with me when I was trying to do good, has been sin in my life. And if there wasn't a sin bearer for me, there'd be no hope for me. But the good news is there was a sin bearer. And the good news about that sin bearer is he didn't try to come to do it. He didn't try to hope to do it. He didn't try and hope to get it done. He didn't try to do it and offer it to you. He came and finished a work that you and I could not do. And whatsoever God doeth, it shall be how long? Forever. What can be added to it? The wise man Solomon said, nothing can be added to it. What can be taken from it? He said, nor anything taken from it. For who does it? God doeth it. Why? That men should fear before him. And what that means is that we should stand today in reverence and on our knees before Almighty God. And also, dear ones, when you're fearing the Lord, you have no reason to fear man. If the fear of the Lord is in your heart, and your reverence and your concern is looking unto him, you're under the watch care of the Lord Jesus Christ as his little child. And he said, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And we can boldly say, I will not fear what men shall do to me, because we know we have a friend in Jesus that sticketh closer than a brother. That when you're in the doubts and the fears of this world and walking along in a pity party, he'll come where you are. And he'll speak to you. And he'll talk to you. And he'll communicate with you in such a way that you'll be allowed to see and understand and know that he is who he is. And he's done what he did and he accomplished it. Oh, he'll chasten you, all right. He does that to everyone he loves. But thanks be to God, he won't let you go. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that the Father who loved you has the power to save you? He knows where you are. He knows what you've done. He will not, and he doesn't begin a work in you and not finish it. He will fulfill that which he came to do, and that is in saving his people from their sins. He has done that, and he will not lose one of those for whom he came and died. And these two walked along the way that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I don't ever remember walking 7 miles with anybody too much. I mean, I walked on the treadmill where it said I'd gone that far, and I've walked, I'm sure, that far. But I don't remember just taking a trip 7 miles, going to Emmaus and walking along the way. But I can imagine that was a journey. How long that journey must have seemed for a while. As they're walking along, they're talking about, this is what we thought was going to be. And we watched him. We watched him crucified. We watched him be taken. We didn't think they could take him. We had our hopes in him. We thought he was going to deliver us from the Roman rule. We thought we were going to be ushered into a kingdom. All of that took place, but not the way they were thinking that it was going to take place. Listen, redemption happened to Israel. He came to redeem Israel, they said. And they thought he had not done that. Oh, let me tell you, he did redeem Israel, the Israel of God, the people of God, the children of God that were given to him in covenant, those that were spiritual Jews. Circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart by the mighty and powerful hand of God. Where that hard and stony heart was cut away and a heart of flesh was given. And that you had a heart operation. You don't know, y'all, if you're a little child again today, you had a heart operation. We know when men give you a heart operation, they don't leave you without a scar, do you? You got a scar to show evidence of that heart operation. But I'm telling you, the one who worked on your spiritual heart, the one who worked in you that way, he works in that heart. He works in that heart. He doesn't leave a scar. He works on the inside. And oh, when he's done it, you're a new creature. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. These two of them that went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And you would have thought, boy, they'd know who he was. But you see, their eyes were holding, according to the scripture, that they should not know him. You know, I think about the many times you and I are walking just like they are. And this is what I get out of this. I know there are probably other things that, brethren, and listen, the Word of God is so deep and rich, and you know, it's beyond anything we could ever preach out. But I'll tell you, I think of the many times I'm going along feeling like I'm all by myself, like I'm all alone. And sometimes I'll pull in a buddy or two, and they don't help me any more than I help them. And you're sitting there, and you're just having just like you get a crowd, and you're communing, and you're reasoning, and you're trying to figure it out. And I don't have the answer, and they don't have the answer. And then Jesus comes along and walks with us and talks with us, but sometimes we don't even recognize his presence. Can I tell you that he's been with you from the time you were conceived and your entire life? His eyes has been upon you. He has compassed your path. If you read Psalm 139, you'll see he's with you in your upset, uprising and your down sitting. He's with you all the time. He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. And those times you felt to be the most alone, you have never been alone. Not as his child. And he's been there all the way. And he's even talked with us along the way, spoken to us, worked in our lives, his handprints, his footprints, his everlasting arms holding us up, taking care of us. Sometimes when we're pulling away, going just as hard as we can, the wrong way and going another way. Listen, if you belong to him, you're his in a covenant relationship that was begun by the Father before the very foundation of the world. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And his hand and his eyes have been upon you all your life. I don't believe in a weak God, do you? I believe in a God who is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of power, who has known his children in a covenant relationship even before the very foundation of the world. And he made choice of us. And here are these two that went along, they communed together and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near. Why did he go there? They were talking so full of doubt. They should have known better. He calls them old fools and slow of heart to believe all that's written in the scriptures. These men had grown up knowing the scriptures. They knew what they had taught. He had lived that before them and shown them what they had said. But they had not remembered so much of what he had said. So many times I'm going along the way, it isn't because I don't know better. Because I'm not thinking right. It's because I'm not remembering. I need to come back to church to hear again these truths. I need to get back in the Word again to hear these truths. I need to hear the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life over and over and over again. Their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You ever spend days sad? Listen, I have. Spend afternoons sad? I have. Talk to somebody to feel better? Don't feel any better. Feel worse. Sad. Just sad. A hymn writer, sometimes I feel discouraged. Think my life in vain. Tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus, doesn't it help? And all he's done for me, then I cry, Rock of Ages. Listen, Rock of Ages, hide thou me. My life has no meaning with me, but with him it does. My days have no purpose without him, but with him I have a purpose for living and the power for living. I have the strength for living. I have the wisdom for living. I have the light. He is my light. He is my everything. And without him I'm in the dark and I have no hope. And I'm like these two little old fellows. That's why I like coming back here. Because I see among the household of the saints and among the body of believers in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, I find food and nourishment and strength and soul restoration and the things that are an encouragement, because I hear Jesus in the songs. Isn't that true? I hear him in the preaching. Listen, preaching won't mean anything if I just talk about how good you feel and how bad, good I feel, and how we can all just get our minds and ideas and thoughts on believing. Believe it. Some people say just believe. Listen, it's not only important to believe, it's important to believe in Him. You need an object of your belief. It isn't just faith that helps you, it's faith in Him. But you can have faith in an idol, and an idol is nothing but an empty, vain thing, no better than the Creator that made it. And it's like men because it's made by men. But listen, our God is not an idol. He's the one who has made us. And our faith needs to be in Him. And as He told His disciples, listen, it was His people He told this: be not faithless, but believing. And when I'm believing, I'm not sad. When I'm sad, that usually is because I'm not believing. I'm not sure that's all the time, but it's a lot of the time. I know that. And here it was for them. They were sad. And he says, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Are there only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there and in these days? Have you ever just realized how silly you and I sound sometimes when we ask questions? You know, you ever thought about that? Sometimes you and I ask each other questions like this question. He's talking to the one who knows everything. And he says, you must not know what we know. You must not understand what I'm going through. You must not have heard about what has happened. You'd be sad with us. If you understood everything we knew, then you'd be sad with us. Listen, he knew much more than they knew, didn't he? The one they were talking to was about to instruct them on why they ought not be sad. And brethren, we got a whole book for you and me today telling us how you and I ought not be walking through this world so sad. Now, none of this makes them his children. They were already his children. They were his children. That was the reason he came there. None of this, and they're doing it or not doing it, keeps them from being or causes them to be his children. But because they are his children and they are walking sad, he comes to them and says, why are you so sad when what has happened has been the most wonderful? Listen, what had happened had been the most wonderful thing that had ever happened. The redemption of the Lord's people had been finished. The Savior had died. The sacrifice had been offered. The Father's wrath had been appeased. Salvation, all that the angels sung about in him coming to this world had taken place. And now he was a resurrected, glorified Savior about to ascend back to the Father to take his seat on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his people. They didn't understand it. You and I, when we are sad, we haven't really grasped and understood what Jesus has truly done for us. And we just need to be reminded again. When I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Don't you need to be hid in the Rock of Ages? Aren't you glad we got a Savior big enough to hide you? Aren't you glad you got a Savior big enough that allows you a bed? You know, it's hard to sleep in a bed that's not long enough to hold you. Isaiah talked about that, and covers that are too short to, as a big tall fella. You know, motel thing says, come on through and light, leave the lights on for you. They might leave the lights on for you, but I'm telling you, the beds are not long enough for me. I'm all over the internet here with this, but listen, I need a long bed to lay down in. I need covers to cover me up with. And I'm telling you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place you can rest. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a gospel that leaves it part up to you to get done. Jesus hasn't done just all he can do. He's done all that was necessary to save his people from their sins. And you and I can rest in it, have peace in it, find strength in it, live in it, abide in it, and we go to him for everything you stand in need of. And he's able to supply whatever it is. He says, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? Jesus answered the question like he didn't know. Now, there's no guile in his mouth. He's asking this question for a purpose. Y'all, we believe everything Jesus ever did was for a purpose. When Jesus stooped down on the ground to write in the dust, you and I might have been speculating, but he'd had a purpose for doing it. And everything he ever did was for a purpose. And when he said what things, he was going to bring out something from them that he was going to help them with and instruct them with. And listen, his handprints on our lives are for a purpose too. Don't think you're just walking along in this world and the occurrences that happen in your life are just for, there's no meaning or purpose to things. I'm telling you one thing, we got a God who's in control. He doesn't cause evil. He's not the author of sin. But I'm telling you, he's in ultimate control in this world. We can count on that and find peace in it. Sometimes things we don't understand. There's many things I don't understand, don't know about. Those are the secret things that belong unto the Lord. And those things that belong unto Him, the hidden things, the secret things, we may not. Somebody said we'll know about them by and by. Well, we may. If we need to, we'll know it. And if we don't, well, we don't need to, do we? We know. Isn't it wonderful to have such a great Father so we can have peace about that as His children? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. Notice they knew who he was. They knew that he was a prophet. And they knew he was mighty indeed and in word before the people. And before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They were saying, that's what they had been talking about. How could this happen? And then they said our trust was and our hopes were dashed. Said, but we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And you see, the redemption of the Lord's people had taken place. The very thing they thought was a failure was a great success. The very thing they thought was a defeat was a victory. The very thing they thought was going to be to their ruin was their deliverance, their salvation. How man's thoughts and God's thoughts are so contrary. Listen, man's ways and man's thoughts are not like God's ways and God's thoughts. God's ways and thoughts are high above man's ways and thoughts, and the heavens are above the earth. What a great Lord we have in His salvation. It says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. Listen, they did that. The evil men took Him and slew Him, but they could not have done that had He not given His life. He gave His life for His sheep. That's the great shepherd of the sheep. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They should have been saying, and He's supposed to come forth, and they should have been waiting, but they didn't. Because they were in doubt and in unbelief. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. They'd gone to that sepulchre to anoint a dead body. They weren't anticipating a resurrected Savior. They were worried about how they were going to get the stone moved away because they were the women that were gathered there. And they loved Him enough. They loved Him enough that they were going to anoint His dead body even though he had died. And they didn't appear to have a hope of His resurrection. They were showing a love for Him and that they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And they said, who's going to roll away the stone? Aren't you thankful when they got there they didn't have to roll away the stone because the angels had rolled away the stone. And those angels had told them that why are you seeking the living among the dead, which means he's not here, he is risen. You know why he rose? Because he said he was going to rise. You know how he did it? By his own power. He gave his life and he had the power to give it. He had the power to take it up again. And he came forth a resurrected Savior. And in his resurrection, we have a hope of our resurrection. Just as sure as Jesus died and rose again, even though them which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. There'll be a resurrection. Listen, we would have no hope of the resurrection of our bodies were it not for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed Israel. And then beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive, but they had not believed them. The Bible even says over in verse 11 of this same chapter and in other places in the scripture, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. That would be some who said, well, they lost their salvation when they didn't believe. Listen, my friends, God's little children can get in unbelief. Salvation came by the blood of Jesus and through His finished work. Deliverance comes in your heart as you believe and trust in the Lord. But listen, your salvation isn't dependent upon what you've done. Your salvation is dependent upon what Jesus did. If it was based in what I did, I had so much incomplete and so much that I have not done. It's in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean we should not believe? Oh, brethren, I couldn't preach more that you ought to believe. Do not be faithless, but believing. Trust and depend upon Him. But our salvation is not in how well we get it. I don't want our trust to be in believing how well we believe either. Some people are believing in how well they believe. And there's no real peace in that. I'll tell you, peace comes when you look at the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary and you completely rest in what He has done. That's where you find peace and rest in your heart. He said, but we trusted that it had been He. And yea, and certain women, let's go verse 23. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then said He unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now we have this eyewitness testimony, don't we? And yet the Lord pointed them where? To the Scripture. Isn't it wonderful? We think, boy, if I'd just been there to see it, wouldn't it be something to be able to see Him? Wouldn't it have been something to be able to see what Peter saw when Jesus appeared to Peter? Wouldn't it have been something to see what those little women saw at that empty tomb? And yet, we have all that recorded in God's Word, in His Scripture. And you and I have been blessed since Pentecost. We've been blessed with the movement of the Holy Spirit and power to where we are enlightened and is able to see. Listen, we've been given so much of all the times we think, oh, if I could have lived back then. Listen, to live today, we're living under a better covenant, under a better time. We are looking back on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them lived looking forward to what He had done. And here that He had done that. They were looking at it, and we're seeing it in the light of God's Word from the eyewitness testimony of the apostles. And we have seen that He's still working today. He's just the same today. What a great Savior we have. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? You see, everything that they thought was so bad had to be that way because there was no other way that the salvation of the Lord's people could happen other than the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as He thought about what He was going to do and knew what He was going to do, even in the garden, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. He's teaching us to be submissive as our great example to the will of the Father. Not that His will and the Father's will were ever in opposition. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which He sent me. And He came and did that. But He's declaring there also that if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Did the cup pass from Him? No. You know why? Because it was not possible. There was no, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And all of the sacrifices that were offered under the old law covenant. Jesus, can you imagine this sermon? I would have loved to heard this sermon. As Jesus declared unto them from the law and the prophets, all the things from the Old Testament. I've heard some preachers come in the types and the shadows in the Old Testament and declare Jesus in such a powerful way. I love to hear it. But can you imagine it coming from the mouth of the Son of God as He openly took the Old Testament scriptures and laid out all that He was coming to do and what He had done, what He had finished, and passage after passage after passage. He described to them what He did. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning in Moses and all the prophets. That's right at Genesis. Even from the third chapter of Genesis. Where the prophecy of Jesus coming and bruising the head and of the serpent, and He would bruise His heel. That was prophecy all throughout the Bible. You know where you see Jesus? All throughout the book. This book was written to declare him. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All of it. If we're going to preach this book, we're going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now, I don't believe for a minute he acted like he was going when he wasn't going. He wasn't trying to trick them. Listen, there is a lesson here for you and me as he goes in our life. You and I need to seek him. We need to beg for his presence. We need to say, Lord, abide with us. Here he was going on. He was going on. But they had enjoyed his presence. They're not even aware at this point exactly who he is, but they know something. Have you ever been there? You don't know all about what's going on, but you know there's something. You know there's something feeding your heart. You know there's something that you need. And that's the way we are in our lives. We learn sometimes what it is that's caused us to feel the way we feel and to love the things that we love. And we don't always understand about them, but they know they love to hear about Jesus Christ and what was being declared about the Messiah. And it came to pass, it says, and when they get this, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Brethren, that's where I want to be today. That's where I want to be. That's where I should have been yesterday afternoon. Where I should have been last night. Where I need to be. Lord, be with me. Oh, when you can't feel him, you pray, Lord, abide with me. Oh, Lord, lighten me. Lord, draw. It's talking about drawing nigh unto the Lord. You draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. You call, you seek, and you shall find. You knock, and it'll be open to you. You ask. We miss blessings because he says you have not. Why? Because you ask not. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If we don't have wisdom, why? Is it because God failed? Listen, God hadn't failed. We're told to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's something for us to do. It is not something we can do on our own without the grace of God. But by the grace of God, we can be strong. Don't you believe that? Can we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Can we put on the whole armor of God? Absolutely. But let's pray, Lord, abide with us. And when we meet at our meetings, we better pray, Lord, come and be with us. Come bless our preacher to preach. And Lord, sit with me on the seat and cause my mind to be attentive and open my heart and may it be a place that's ready to receive thy word. And may your word bring forth fruit in my life. And may I not only just have it in the church bench, but may I take the name of Jesus with me as I live here in this world. That it affects my life. It's my meditation. And when my heart is stayed upon him, you know where I'm at? I'm in perfect peace when my heart is stayed upon the Lord. And when I'm not in perfect peace, it means my heart has strayed. Like the hymn writer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Is that you? Prone to leave, what? The God I love. And what's his cry? Take my heart. Oh, don't you feel that? Take my heart. Take it and what? Seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Lord, keep me close to thee. Close to thee. Close to him. And that's what they said. Oh Lord, abide with us. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Oh, he listened. As they cried, he answered. Do you believe that? If you cry, he'll answer. If you call, he'll answer. Is the Lord far away from those who call upon him? No, he's near to them. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And brethren, that's why we ought to be encouraging one another. You call upon the Lord. You believe in the Lord. I've got brethren, when I get in that kind of a place of doubting, they'll say, you know what you need to do, don't you? And I'll say, what? And they'll say, trust in the Lord. And that's right. Amen. And that's what we need. Abide with us. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he went with them to their house. But who's in charge here? Isn't it wonderful? You know, Jesus is always in charge. They didn't break bread and give it to him. He's come to their house. But I'm telling you, the one that broke bread here is the one who's made the bread. Who is the bread? He's the bread of life. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. Who took bread? Jesus took bread. And what did he do? He blessed it. I'm telling you one thing. He's the only one who can truly bless our bread. Somebody said, bless the table. You can't bless the table. You can ask the Lord to bless the table, but you can't bless the table. I can't bless the table. I know what's being asked when that's said, but it's really incorrect language. We need to ask the Lord to bless the food. We need to ask the Lord to bless the table. He took the bread. Okay. And he blessed it, and he broke and gave to them. And all, just think about this. Their eyes were open. Can you imagine? Have you been there? Have you been there in those dark times? Feeling like it's all just gone. Like there's no hope. And he opened your eyes. And you're allowed for a little while by faith to see Jesus right here in this world. And you feel he's got you and he's holding you. You don't even know how he's going to take care of you. But you know he will because he's promised to. And he has never lied. Never will. He opened their eyes, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He knows them. He knew them, and they knew him, and he vanished, and then immediately he vanished out of their sight. Well, I'm telling you what, Jesus could do whatever he wanted to when he wanted to, and he was in a physical body. He was in a fleshly body. He ate. But he vanished out of their sight. Then they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Heard a preacher say this a long time ago. This is a good kind of heartburn. I've said it many times since. This is a good kind of heartburn. I love the heartburn you get when you're sitting in a meeting and you just feel that you feel the presence of the Lord to where you just rejoicing in him, and it moves you in your heart. And did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. I love to think of it. They had a story to tell. They just walked 7 miles. And I would have said, well, let's just wait till morning. You know, it's pretty evening. We've had a wonderful day. We'll just wait till morning. No, sir, they're not waiting till morning. They're going back. You know why? Because they got something to tell those other disciples. They've seen the Lord. He's appeared to them. They've heard him speak. They know he's alive. And they said, there are some of our brethren doubting. They're the brethren, but they're doubting. And we're going there. He said, and they went and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And Jesus has already appeared to Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And then I got to read verse 36 and we'll close with this. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. What a Savior. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.
I love you, my brother. Bless you.